T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back in. Final hour. Let's talk some updated Clemson sports news with our buddy Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Clem Sports News. Remember, free coverage of football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and everything else going on down there on campus. How you doing, bud?
How you guys doing there? We're doing great today. How are you guys doing?
Man, fantastic. And, you know, Clemson has a need for a tight end, and it looks like they got it yesterday when they pick up a guy by the name of Sage Ennis from right there in Tallahassee, Florida. Florida State had been on him for a long, long time, but he comes up, makes an official visit, and boom, Clemson says they want him, and he says, guess what? I'm all in.
Yeah, we had the chance yesterday to talk to Sage, Neil Burnett, he just came on board as our new recruiting analyst. He works out of the state of North Carolina. Reached out to him and spoke with him right after the commitment. And yeah, it was it sealed the deal with the trip to Clemson last week with his family. If you go to the website, he gets on there and he tells us all about it, and he lets everybody know exactly why he came to Clemson. And yeah, he stole him right out of the backyard of Willie Taggart and the Noles. They had their eyes on him. It was kind of surprising to see him pull the trigger as fast as he did, but it did feel a big need in numbers-wise for the Tigers for this class going forward.
So, I mean, what does this say right now about Florida State, that here's a guy that they need from right there under their nose, and they'd made it a priority, but it's not only Sage Ennis. This is multiple commits for Clemson. They come the offensive lineman from Tampa, the Seminoles wanted terribly bad. So what does it say to Florida State? They were the only ACC team that came out in the Forbes top 25 most valuable college football programs. They came in at number 17, but, man, that's got to be falling back year by year.
Oh, they're losing their value quickly there. I think the foothold that was Florida State was lost when you go all the way back to when Jimbo Fisher came in and replaced Bobby Bowden. They kind of moved their recruiting footprint out of Florida and went a little bit more nationally with Jimbo. And I think they lost their foothold with the Florida coaches, the high school coaches, I mean. And you see that effect coming back now, with now a second regime, the Willie Taggart regime in there, and a whole different recruiting effort going to try to make Florida again significant in their recruiting. But I don't think it's taking foothold like they wanted it to. A lot of turmoil with all, and not just there, all the programs in South Florida and Florida have changed coaching staff so much. Mm-hmm. I think that the Florida high school coaches have gotten to the point where they're looking for teams and coaches out there that have built stable programs. And that's why Clemson and Alabama and teams like that are starting to look more attractive to those kids in Florida to come back up this way and look around.
Now, the other thing going on is Clemson football is on a mission trip. You know, my daughter's leaving to go on one Friday. They're going to Garden City Beach, South Carolina. How in the heck do they end up in Thailand? Because as far as I know, it took them, 24 hours of travel to get over to Thailand.
Yeah, that's nuts. I'm already going to Thailand for a mission trip. That's something that Dabo Swinney and that staff has always been big on, is getting these guys to go out and reach out to the real world and see what it's going to be like out there, and to see the creature comforts that we have here and the luxuries that we all take for granted every day aren't always available in other worlds and other countries. And it opens their eyes up to the rest of the world and gives them, kind of grounds them a little bit. But I think it's a great thing these guys do, the way they reach out to the community, and I think it's a good thing for these kids to get out there and see the real world.
As we continue with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com, free coverage of the Tigers. Give him a follow on Twitter at Clem Sports News. Listen, doesn't sound like any changes coming up to the baseball coaching staff, but Monty Lee let it be known he was not happy with the way that this year went down. Obviously, he's had a talk with Dan Radakovich about what the expectations are, and I think it sounds like maybe he was told, listen, we expect better here, and he's got this offseason to go out and find some more talent.
Well, that's just it. You know, I equate what's going on with Monty right now to what was going on with Brad in the basketball program going into last year. I see the same thing. He came in with a team that had a lot of pieces there, and all he had to do was to insert some pitching and manage that pitching the right way. And again, that's to everyone else's own assessment as to what they think he did. And again, I've said it all year long. I saw the pitching getting tired really early. And I think that might have been a little bit of mismanagement in the staff. I don't think they trusted some of the freshmen as much as they should. I mean, as well as they should have. I think they should have been more willing to put those guys in earlier in the season and let them get a little bit more seasoned. And I think they would have been able to manage them further down the season. But again, that's everyone else's assessment on that. That's just mine. But I think that's where I think the problem lies right there, going out there and finding those arms. And I think they've already started to attend to that.
How about basketball? You know, this is an interesting summer for Brad Brunell and the program. They do pick up a couple of transfers, but they're actually getting some practice time this summer as they're representing the USA in what, the World University Games. Any feedback from how that's gone down? Because they do lose a piece of the puzzle while working out for that. The UNC Asheville center, who they were hoping to get some contributions for, he's out for the year with an injury.
That's huge. I mean, that was huge. That coming in the season, he was going to be relied on very much to come in and fill a huge role. You know, and we haven't got any feedback on how things are going out there right now. Things have been kind of quiet there, but we'll be reaching out to those guys soon. They have made a couple of new transitions and hires into the coaching positions there. They hired Anthony Goings, who was previously at Quinnipiac University. Mm-hmm. He's come in and been named an assistant by Brad Brunell. I think that he might make an impact there real fast. And they just made another new hire into the recruiting position as well. The recruiting coordinator was changed at the basketball program. And we're going to be reaching out to both of those guys, get interviews with them here shortly, and try to find out what they are feeling as they come into the program.
All right, so at this point, any more summer camps going on with football? I mean, any of that news? Because they still have 2 to 3 scholarships to play with right now. And, you know, we were talking about it earlier with Matt Michelle from the Orlando Sentinel. This, it looks pretty good. Shaq Smith, what ended up in West Virginia, did I see? Or I think that's where he ended up. But, you know, the point being this transfer portal, it's going to blow some things up. But Clemson actually kind of handled it and went through it well. No word on Tavian Feaster. But, you know, there's still guys. Auburn had a 4-star linebacker entered the transfer portal yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. We always used to say all the time, that's what happens when you recruit with the big boys. It is true. Once you get up into that level of recruiting with Clemson's at, and you start stacking depth chart up with 4- and 5-star talent, those guys get itchy back there after year 2 or 3. They want to come out and play. And when they're sitting there, I'll give you a great example of a guy that's sticking pat right now that should have transferred, Xavier Kelly. And he's now up to over 300 pounds. He's going to play defensive tackle this year. And he'll be the better for it. I think that was a great move by the staff and for him to take and sit him back for a while and hold him back and hold the reins back on him. And hey, let's move you over here. You're about ready to transition to tackle. We're about to have an open position there. And we think you'll make some real good moves there. There you go. That's how you keep a kid from transferring, okay? Be really smart and tactical, but at the same time, be real about it, you know, and let him know that this is a real thing for you and you can absolutely progress from here to the next level. And when you can prove that to a kid, you can keep him around. Now, as far as Clemson versus other teams able to get through this transfer portal and not be nicked up as much, again, you look to the roster and as much talent. One guy leaves and another guy steps up. The roster's filled up right now with talent. That comes, you know, back to the recruiting and how good a job they've done in the last 4 years.
So when you take a look back on it on June 18th, I don't think there's anything else left on the playing field for Clemson this year until they kick off probably women's soccer a couple of weeks before the football game, football season begins. How do you, I mean, even with the national championship in football, is this an A season for Clemson athletics as a whole? Because quite frankly, I don't feel like it is.
Oh, absolutely not. I think the basketball team underachieved and the baseball team underachieved. I think right there, that's 2/3 of your major athletic programs that didn't do what they were supposed to do, and you're supposed to expect a football team to pull their pants up and pull everybody up with them. Nah, not the case this year. I think you give them about a B+. That's where I'm at with everything. You know, about a B+ would be my grade for overall athletic programs. And things are about to change, though. I think you're about to see baseball possibly, who knows if they can get the right guys in this year and make another step up. Basketball is the real big question going into next year. Football, we all know what we're all expecting, and we'll see how that goes. There's some good things going on. We don't have anything going on the fields till August, but I tell you right now, it's going to get busy. ACC meetings are coming up next month. Dabo Swinney's media golf outing is going to happen right after that. We'll be right there and on top of all that stuff. There's a lot of excitement right now going around the football program, and there's some more recruiting. You talk about needs at recruiting. They still need a good linebacker, and they need two wide receivers, and there are three guys that we've got our eyes on right now. We think Clemson's going to be sinking their teeth into by the time of July 4th, all-in cookout shows up.
All right, so the initial version of the chat with the hat went down with C.J. Spiller. Good reviews. I notice he's got another one coming up here on June 27th, does Dean Cox.
Oh, yeah. Chat. We've been through two. We had one last week with Robert Smith, ex-Clemson safety, was on. Man, he was great. We had a great hour-long show with him. A bunch of our sponsors came on board and sat down and did segments. Next week at Elkmont Trading Company, you'll find Dean, the Hat Cox, sitting up there chat with the Hat. Will be episode number 3, this time with All-Pro Clemson legend LaVon Kirkland on the set with us. And he'll be our co-host for an hour, and we'll have some of our sponsors coming up. And hopefully sooner or later we'll get you and Diesel down there to come sit down and talk with us.
I'd love to. I love the Hat. We've actually – Diesel's even been allowed in his place out in Simpsonville, the Loom, one time.
I just want to know, do you supply the hats, or are we supposed to bring our own?
You got to bring your own. Bring your own. But, hey, Elkmont's got a great selection right there inside the store. You're just going to buy your own right there while you're there.
Hey, Diesel.
We'll get you a discount.
We don't wear hats. We wear a wrestling mask, right? And I actually got you one that you can breathe in on this last trip. So, I think we do the chat in the hat with the mask. But all right, real quickly, again, ClemsonSportsNews.com. It's free. Y'all got coverage of everything. Give people a little idea why they should check it out.
Well, there's only one reason to check it out. The best coverage of Clemson sports that you can find anywhere on the internet, and especially because it's free. Again, free. There's no premium areas. No one's going to hold back any information and say, hey, come over here and spend a dollar or two for this or that. Give me your credit card number. Never ask for. With us, if you got a Facebook login, you can actually go through your Facebook, log into us, you're done. It's that easy. Never have to supply us with an ounce of your personal information. And at the same time, you're going to get some of the best coverage you can find anywhere on Clemson sports on the internet.
All right, buddy. Always appreciate you. We're back until the first day of ACC football kickoff, so we'll get together. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate everything you do. There's Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. When we come back, it's time to bring this list out. Chip Patterson from CBS Sports did a ranking of the ACC coaches. You know what, Diesel? This one could upset some people, but I think he really did his homework on this, and it's justified. You're going to be surprised at what schools come in the 2, 3, and 4 slot. And do you agree or disagree? You'll have to bring it to us straight up at 844-GSP-ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So earlier, Diesel put up on Twitter, who's the best coach in the ACC not named Dabo Swinney? And then Chip Patterson, our buddy from CBSSports.com, we'll have him on coming up later in the week. He's listed out the top coaches in the Atlantic Coast Conference in football. But Diesel, here are some of the responses that we got on Twitter. From Porter Hayes, he says, dude at Syracuse. Yes, Dino Babers is who he's talking about. Seth Eves, Sports Junkie 94, says Dino Babers. Michael Koval says David Cutcliffe. He's winning consistently at Duke, and do you know how hard that is? Austin Silvey gets in, Dino Babers. Travis Thompson, he's in agreement, Dino Babers, BMAC, Viva underscore La underscore Snowman. Would that be Long Live the Snowman? He's got Mac Brown, and I wouldn't go that far, BMAC, but I like your creativity. Pecan Tan says Steve Adazio. Matt Sill says Dino Babers. Brandon Beasley says Babers or Cutcliffe. Guy from BC would be a heck of a defensive coordinator somewhere. Somebody tweeted us something that was so nasty that tweet is no longer available. And then Gray Thompson agrees with somebody else and says Brent Venables. Now, Brent might be the right answer there, but he's not a head coach. So you want to know how the list goes down for one of the college football experts, Chip Patterson, with CBS Sports, and see if you agree or disagree, Diesel. And we'll start at the 14th slot and we'll work our way forward. And you tell me, yeah, I like it. Nah, don't like it. Give me a reason. But coming in dead last when it comes to the list of ACC coaches, you know, how about Manny Diaz at the University of Miami? And he says, part of our internal debates for doing these rankings focus on whether coaches should get credit for efforts as a coordinator or start with their head coaching career at the bottom of a list with an opportunity to move up with data points. He says, I lean away from that notion and had Diaz much higher on my ballot than many of my colleagues because of what he was able to prove as a defensive coach and leader of the Hurricanes. I'm kind of with him there. When you're 0-0 as a head coach, how can you be, you know, anything other than a big question mark next to you? Also, does a big question mark not kind of define what the U is in football?
I would say train wreck really defines what
I mean,
they are.
They used to be bad. And by that, I mean bad boys. They were a bad football team. You never want to play, never want to have to face them. Now they, when Clemson beat the crap out of them in the ACC championship game a couple of years ago, I guess in the locker room afterwards, you know, the Clemson football team was having a little fun with the U chain. You know what I mean? The turnover chain or whatever, and cut it up with some. And there's some Miami fans still upset about it. Don't come in and get your brains blown out by Clemson and then, you know, complain about what they do in the locker room post game. All right, so applying to that notion, Diesel, then Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech, he is number 13. And again, he had some good years at Temple, but we still have to wait and see how we will rank him amongst his ACC peers when all's said and done. So with that, it brings the current crop of coaches. He's got at number 12, Willie Taggart at Florida State. I mean, stop and think about it. Last year was undeniably bad, but they still think at this point in time, Willie Taggart is the lowest rated coach in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and this is what they had to say about it. At this point, Taggart is getting more credit in the coach rankings for his profile and previous history than specifically for what's happening at Florida State. There's a lot of distance between championship expectations and missing out on the postseason entirely, and it's up to Taggart to figure out how to bring the Seminoles back up to speed. Interesting. At number 11, Pat Narduzzi at Pitt. And listen, you think about the depth of where ACC football maybe has come coaching-wise. When you think about a coach of the Coastal Division champions last year, I mean, granted, they were, what, 7-5, but Pitt won the Coastal Division and played Clemson in the ACC championship game. Yet here is Pat Narduzzi on this list at number 11. Number 10 on the on Chip Patterson's listing of ACC coaches, Steve Adazio at Boston College. He says, what do you make of 7-win Steve? Boston College has won 7 games in 5 of the past 6 years that Adazio has been head coach, therefore carrying a perfectly balanced 38-38 overall record into 2019. You know, a lot of people would say 38-38. Any type of consistency at Boston College is probably a good thing in my book. You know what I mean? What's the one thing that they did not get a chance to do last year, Diesel? Remember, their bowl game got the First Responders Bowl. The weather was so bad, they called the game at what? A little bit into the second quarter, something along those lines. So they didn't get that opportunity to add another win on there in their bowl game. And Dazio is one of my favorite interviews. Just a nice guy. And listen, I think at some point he should get rewarded and somebody come and hire him away to a bigger program, because he's managed to win at least seven games in five of the past 6 years at Boston College. That's doing something pretty special. Now, Diesel, this will hurt you a little bit, but he's got some respect for Scott Satterfield, your head coach, now at Louisville. We mentioned with Matt Mershell earlier, one of the big surprises to me in college football in the last 3 to 4 weeks, the number of recruits at Louisville has picked up from all over the place. They're buying into what Scott Satterfield is selling at Louisville. Let's see if you agree or disagree with this comment about Scott Satterfield. He says, Appalachian State, and by the way, I saw you cringe when it was called Appalachian State earlier in the
Matt
show.
Matt Mershell should know better.
Appy State made the jump from SCS to Sun Belt and immediately became the class of the conference under Scott Satterfield's leadership, going 34-6 in conference play before Louisville tapped him to take over for Bobby Petrino. Those three conference titles and three straight bowl wins have given Satterfield the reputation as one of the brightest coaches on the rise, and that success has anchored his ranking amongst his Power 5 peers. And I think before he gets put at number 9 on this list, it might stay here for a year or two, because he's got to take over an absolute train wreck from Bobby Petrino at Louisville. But I believe in Scott Satterfield, not because I believe in the black and gold and have a little bit of a App State fandom now, because, you know, you're part of our family, if you will. I just think the guy can flat out coach, and I look forward to what he can possibly get done at Louisville. We had that argument on how does the term outkick your punt coverage, you know, how should you take that? Is it an insult? Is it not? I promise you, in the grand scheme of things, they thought they were getting Jeff Brohm from a former quarterback at Louisville to come back and take over the alma mater. And I think in the long run, when App State fans realize it, they will found out they outkicked their punt coverage when it comes to their particular football program at Louisville in getting Scott Satterfield as their head coach. So let's run down the beginnings of this list real quick. We'll come back with it on the other side. Of course, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, list out the ACC ranking in football coaches. He's got dead last Manny Diaz, just simply in the fact there is no room to judge him. Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech is number 13. Willie Taggart at Florida State, number 12. Pat Narduzzi at Pitt, number 11. Steve Adazio, Boston College, number 10. And Scott Satterfield at Louisville, number 8. So,
I'm a big fan of Scott Satterfield. You know that I am. I don't understand how you rank him above any coaches who have actually coached games in the ACC. I get that he's got head coaching experience that Manny Diaz doesn't have. I get that he's in probably a better situation than the guy at Georgia Tech. But how do you rank him above guys who have actually already coached at this level? We just don't know what Scott Satterfield is going to be at the Power 5 level.
I think the synopsis was, if you can guide somebody from the SCS level to D1 football the way and have the success that he did in 3 years, then the guy can coach. You know what I mean? I think that might be putting the apple in front of the horse, so to speak. But I think he gets a lot more respect because it's hard to transition, you know, from one level to another. But that's kind of interesting. Again, y'all may have lost Scott Satterfield, but you came up with a better name in Drinkwitz. You know what I mean?
By the way, FCS is Division I football. Well,
you know what I mean. All right, sorry. Let's get technical. But remember, we got Let's Get Personal tomorrow as well here on the show. So give us your thoughts. Are they nailing this? Because guess what? 1, 2, 3, and 4, 2, 3, and 4 would make sense if it was a basketball breakdown, but how does it break down in football? We'll give it to you straight up. You give us a call, 844-GSP-ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back in. We're going through Chip Patterson's list of ranking the ACC coaches. Coming in at number 8, my man crush back in the day, but Justin Fuente, early returns, haven't necessarily showed a seamless transition from Frank Beamer to Justin Fuente, but...
Don't worry, he'll end up on Nick Saban's staff, and he'll be fine in a couple of years.
Yeah, you know, you might as well bottom out losing at Old Dominion in year number 2, and maybe that was the case for Justin Fuente last year. But, you know, one of the things you got to say is you have to put Mac Brown in front of a Justin Fuente. Even though Mac Brown hadn't coached for a decade, he was successful at North Carolina and won a national title at Texas. So, Chip Patterson's got Mac Brown in North Carolina number 7 on this list.
Yeah, that's a tough one. He's been a couple of years without coaching. Is he fallen off? Again, I don't see putting a guy that is essentially unproven over the last 5 years. Look, I get it. Mac Brown has had an illustrious career, but dude's getting a little bit older. Can he still coach? We know he used to be able to coach, but can he still coach?
And the thing is, how many times, you know, more than likely when a coach goes home or goes back, you know, for part number 2, a la Bobby Petrino, is it fair to say that was abysmal? That was an absolute failure for Louisville in the part 2 of the Bobby Petrino, even though they got a Heisman Trophy with Lamar Jackson, firing him at 2-10 last year, I'd say that worked out pretty piss poor. All right, Randy Edsall. Remember, he took UConn to a Fiesta Bowl in round number 1 at UConn. Then makes the jump to Maryland, then goes back to UConn. They may very well be the worst team in all of D1 college football. And go ahead and bust on me, include the FCS in that. You know what I mean?
There's no football in Connecticut.
Exactly. So those, you know, there have been a couple of return to the scenes of the crime, if you will. John Robinson from USC back in the day, a few like that. Again, the part 2s don't typically work. So number 6 is Dave Doran at NC State. I think it's about appropriate. They didn't win a single game in Dave Doran's first season back in 2013, but that trajectory has been upward. You know, Ryan Friendly was a good quarterback, and they usually bring in a solid, never a spectacular class when it comes to National Signing Day, but they churned out some NFL picks. So I think that's a good territory. I think I'd have him at number 5 over Dave Clawson. Chip Patterson's list of ACC quarterbacks has Dave Clawson at number 5, and it says, he says, like Doran, Clawson had to grit his teeth through a tough start to his tenure, but the commitment to his plan has allowed the Deacons to reach a level of sustained success with 22 wins over the last 3 seasons and 3 straight bowl wins against Temple, Texas A&M, and Memphis. Well, if you look at that right there, NC State got popped in their bowl game by Texas A&M this year. Wake Forest beat them the previous year in Charlotte. I get it. You can't necessarily justify it. But I don't really care where you are in that 5-6 range. I think that's a good landing spot for Dave Clawson and Dave Doran. So let's go through this, Diesel. We now have 4 left. Wake Forest, NC State, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Florida State. They're all off the list. You go back and you think through the history of ACC football. You would expect Virginia Tech's coach to be at the top, especially Florida State's, especially maybe Miami. Now, again, there's nothing to judge Manny Diaz on. But I cannot disagree with this. Number four on the list, some might have him number two, but on this list by Chip Patterson, Dino Babers of Syracuse. You think about it, Dino said that he would have Syracuse football competitive and maybe back by 2017, and he was 1 year off. Something happens that year number two. The light just seems to go off with a coach. But, you know, now you got to find – last year you got 10 wins. You finished in the top 15 of the polls, but you got some turnover coming up because a lot of people think that the only reason you were any good was your quarterback. Let me tell you, Dino Babers is recruited better than that, but they're likely to go backwards this year a little bit from 10 wins. But Dino Babers, just the fact that he's turned them around, it can't be real easy to recruit people to Syracuse University for football. Basketball's a whole nother story. But imagine getting off the airplane last week in January to check out Syracuse and there's a minus 28 wind chill. Doesn't exactly sing, sign me up, I'm ready to play. You know what I mean? So Dino Babers comes in at number four. When we come back, Diesel, we'll close out the show with the top three because they have done it at schools. You know, one's a football school. He's number one. The other two are more famous for their basketball programs. But guess what? According to Chip Patterson, they have the second and third best coaches in the ACC in college football. We'll bring it to you straight up when we come back. Final segment of today's show. Again, the listing of ACC football coaches. All right, welcome back in. Number 14 on this ranking of ACC football coaches, Manny Diaz of the University of Miami. 13, Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech. Number 12, Willie Taggart, Florida State. 11, Pittsburgh, Pat Narduzzi. Number 10, Steve Adazio, Boston College. Number 9, Louisville, Scott Satterfield. 8, Justin Fuente, Virginia Tech. 7, North Carolina's Mack Brown. Number 6, Dave Doran at NC State. 5, Dave Clawson from Wake Forest. 4, Dino Babers from Syracuse. So, do the math. At 2 and 3 are Duke and Virginia head football coaches. Number 3's got Bronco Mendenhall of the Virginia Cavaliers. And fit at a school is so important. And get, I mean, listen, however they got that deal done a couple of years ago, getting Bronco Mendenhall out of BYU. You know, last year, one of the storylines at ACC football kickoff was him walking out of the meeting, Diesel, and saying, I bet I don't have 40 D1 players on my roster right now. All they did was go to an 8-5 season and a 28-0 shutout of South Carolina in the Belt Bowl. Bronco Mendenhall can flat-out coach, and that is a great hire. Matter of fact, I would put that tandem of Bronco Mendenhall and Tony Bennett is a 1-2 punch when it comes to major coaches in football and basketball up against maybe anybody but about Michigan State with Tom Izzo in squad. So number 2 on the list, Diesel, do you think Duke fans are happy David Cutcliffe gets the honor as the second highest ranked ACC football coach? 46-32 in his last 6 seasons with Duke, in 6 bowl games in the last 7 years. In 89 years prior to that, the program went to just 8 bowl games as a whole. So I think that speaks to the impact of what David Cutcliffe has done in Durham, North Carolina at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. So, Diesel, anything that catches your attention, obviously number one is Dabo Swinney of Clemson University, having won two of the last three national championships and done it against the all-time great in Nick Saban. He's obviously number one. I don't have a problem. What I think is fascinating is 2, 3, and 4 on this list of ACC football coaches are what I consider basketball schools, Duke, Virginia, and Syracuse.
Well, let me ask you. Would numbers 2, 3, and 4 have a legitimate shot of getting into a playoff if they were coaching a good roster at a power five, at a big time football program?
Well, I think you're getting ready to find out, because I got the feeling that Dino Babers is going to be a very hot commodity here in the next couple of years. David Cutcliffe, I think he could. He just doesn't want to. I told you what he told Teresa and I. You know, most years we've gotten it together with he and his wife for a drink. And I asked him one time during this run of success, I'm like, have you thought about leaving? Only time was Tennessee, and they screwed up, and they wouldn't let him bring his staff in. They were going to control who he could, and he said, I'm either 100% authoritarian or I'm not going. Outside of that, he's never left the look to leave Duke. And he told Teresa and I this. He goes, with the guy with the heart problem, the expectations at Duke aren't too great. In a world-class hospital less than 2 miles from my driveway, why would I leave this place? And you know what?
It's got a point. Quality of life. That's what that decision is based on.
What did they say? Joe Dirt. Wasn't that the movie where you had the...
Life's a garden, you got to dig it?
No. Home and where the honey is. What? Home and where the honey is. Home is where the heart is.
No, it says home is where you make it.
Or whatever.
And he mistook that for you like to see homos naked.
Exactly. All right. You're a little bit smarter when it comes to that.
No, I've just seen that movie a lot.
I know. But there's a lot of truth in that, because, he enjoys being a coach. I think he enjoys doing something at Duke that nobody's ever done before. So going to be interesting. But fascinating, on that. I guess the one that I think is a little bit overrated when it comes to this, if you will, but it's hard to argue against them, is Dave Clawson. I mean, there's nothing sexy about it, but winning 3 consecutive bowl games at Wake Forest, there's a lot to be said for that. You know what I mean? So, again, it just goes to show you the depth of coaches in the ACC when it comes to college football, Diesel, because, the thing is, you go look at their counterparts in the Southeastern Conference. Forever, SEC was known as a football conference, basketball afterthought. Forever, the ACC was known as a basketball conference with a football afterthought. Now go look at the depth of coaching in the ACC in football, but maybe even more so, the depth of coaching in the Southeastern Conference when it comes to college basketball. I mean, those are two things that have transformed in the last couple of years that have really, really surprised me when all is said and done. So, love getting into this stuff. We'll talk about the SEC coaches. We'll get Chip Patterson on from CBS Sports.com here later in the week. So we'll get into a lot of college football, because it's the next big thing. I can watch a little Women's World Cup. I mean, it wasn't too bad when we saw Brazil and Italy on here when we came in earlier today. But that's not going to give me a whole lot of it gives me a little bump toward media days, but that's it. You know what I mean? I still football is what's going to have to carry me through this. So, Diesel. Our buddy, one of the friends I'm trying to get on for tomorrow to talk about one team in specific in college football, and that would be Texas Tech. He took a quiz on Twitter earlier today. I don't know exactly how it worked out for him, but how many college football teams do you think play in the state of Texas? Again, that
total, top to bottom, all divisions?
All divisions.
I'm going to guess 40.
Wow. You're right in there, man. 47 football teams play college football in the state of Texas. So Sam Kahn from ESPN.com, he goes, I think I should have done a little better. I guess it was a, like, you know, name the mascot type contest. He got 57%, which if you ask me, that's failing. You know what I mean? Well, you don't get to play this week. You there's no 2-0 and go in that one. You know what I mean? But I was just blown away. 47 schools in the state of Texas play college football. So no doubt about it. All right. So give our people an update. They need to go out and check out YouTube and get on Diesel's fishing page. Do we have an upload today? Because I tell you, I saw that big pounder. That one-pound fish that Ashley caught the other day, and I know that's kind of a big fish where y'all been going fishing. So you having some fun doing your best impersonation of
Bill Dance
or Virgil Ward or whoever at this point?
Well, nothing up today, but I put up videos every single Friday. I got a new one coming up. We're actually brought up our boy, Sean, from Top Golf. He came over and did a live bait challenge between live minnows and night crawlers.
Which, by the way,
it was a relatively close race.
Yeah, we need to get him. We need to get Sean. By the way, Sam, I apologize. He got 36 of 47 for 77%. But this is what they said. Albert Einstein called. He wants his brain back. So, again, 57, that's pretty 77. You can still play this weekend. That's a C in my book. So, again, Diesel, had some fun today. One of the things we're going to go through tomorrow is a rundown of the top college Heisman Trophy candidates. Also, trying to catch up with some South Carolina sports as well with our buddy Hal McGranahan from the Big Spur. And again, I've got reached out to Sam Kahn Jr. He covers Texas A&M. Of course, that's going to be Clemson's biggest game of the year, no doubt, at least the biggest game in September, that week number two matchup at 3:30 in the afternoon. So Diesel and I'll be back in studio tomorrow. We'll give you a Braves report. Remember, they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. Dallas Keuchel will be making his first start on Friday. Also, we'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Days of Our Lives. Which NBA franchise, Diesel, represents Days of Our Lives better right now? The LA Lakers or the Houston Rockets?
All of the above.
All of the above is a great answer because Chris Paul, somebody's telling a lie in Houston. I haven't exactly figured out who it is yet, but somebody's lying, and we'll try to figure that one out for you as well. But in the meantime, do us a favor. Go to ESPNUpstate.com. Get registered for the locker room. As a matter of fact, you can win yourself some tickets to Weird Al Yankovic out there at Heritage Park Theater. Also, give us a follow on Twitter at ESPNUpstate. At Sturgis Sports and at Diesel on Radio. And listen, thanks for all the input today and everything else. And enjoy your evening. Have a blessed night. And guess what? We'll do it at 4 p.m. tomorrow, right back here in studio for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.